Have your Bibles tonight. I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Judges. I would like to read from Judges chapter 20. Judges chapter 20. I would like to begin reading with the 8th verse and read through verse 11. Judges chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. I'm not engaged in further audible prayer, but I do ask all of you to be praying that God will help us and bless us as we try to study the Word of God. Judges chapter 20, beginning in verse 8, reading through verse 11. The subject that's on my heart tonight is the subject of unity, of being united and working together and laboring together and standing together. There's great strength in unity. There's personal strength that we get when we're united. I remember that when I was a young man that often in my prayers, I would pray for God to help all of God's people to be united. And I remember Daddy often telling me that he would prefer that I pray that we would be united in the truth. And I never did really understand. I just kept persisting in being a rebellious young 17, 18-year-old. I persisted just praying for God to help us to just be united. And I think I was probably a year or two older before I understood what it was that he was saying. There are many people that are united that ought not to be united. The Word of God says that can two walk together except they be agreed? It's impossible for us to walk together. It's impossible for there to be true unity unless we're in real agreement. The Word of God also says that we're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, you can be united even with unbelievers, but that kind of unity is contrary to the Word of God. I think there are many Christians, like I was when I was a young man, that are confused about unity, and I think we need to understand that the only thing that brings about true unity is if we're following one particular thing and one particular person. Now, unity can be, two people can have unity. It doesn't take a lot of people to have unity. Just two people, you can have unity between two people, can't you? There are some of you that I have been very, very close friends with for many, many years. Now, that's unity. When you can stay friends with someone for a long, long time, that's what unity is all about. We need to pray that God will help us to all be able to have true unity and godly unity. And as we go through the Scriptures, I hope that God will help us to all understand that we need unity. There needs to be unity in every home. Did you know that? There needs to be unity in the home. There needs to be harmony in the home. There needs to be a husband and wife that are united in God's eyes and with each other and in the light of God's Word. If they're truly united and if they have true unity, then they are a happy couple. That the Word of God teaches that a man and a woman become one flesh. That's unity, isn't it? All right, now reading from Judges chapter 20, we're going to read about the children of Israel. We're going to read about that as the children of Israel, that they were united in a battle. They were going to go against the people of Gibeah, and as they were going against the army of Gibeah, we find that the children of Israel, the army of Israel, was going to be united. So look now at Judges chapter 20, beginning in verse 8. The Word of God says, and all the people arose as one man. You notice the wording there? They arose as one man. Do you see them all standing together? They all arose, the expression here is as one man, saying, we will not any of us go to his tent, neither will we any of us turn into his house. But now this shall be the thing that which we will do to Gibeah. We will go up by lot against it, and we will take 10 men of 100 throughout all the tribes of Israel, and 100 of 1,000, and 1,000 of 10,000, to fetch victual for the people, that they may do when they come to Gibeah of Benjamin, according to all the folly that they have wrought in Israel. So all the men of Israel were gathered against the city. And then the scripture uses this expression, knit together as one man. And that's the main thought that's on my heart tonight, is how the Word of God talks about how this army of God, the Bible says that they were knit together as one man. Now they arose as one man, and then the scripture says that as they went forward into battle, though they all had different responsibilities, they were all knit together as one man. I think that when we really love each other, I think that when the people of God truly love each other, and when they're united in the truth, that's when you have real unity. When the people of God are following God, when they're all trying to do what God would have them to do, we have to have a leader. There has to be something in common for us to be united. 2 people or 100 people or 1,000 people, there has to be something that binds them together. And I believe that as Christians that we ought to be united, but we cannot sacrifice principle or righteousness or truth. We can't sacrifice those things just to have unity. It's more important to have 5 people that are in unity, united in the truth, than it is to have 1,000 people that are just together. Those 10 virgins that went out, you remember how they went out to meet the bridegroom? And there were 5 of those virgins that were united in their service. There were 5 of those virgins that took their lamps and took oil with them, and those 5 were united. But the other 5, though they had lamps and they had their light shining, those other 5 did not carry oil with them, and when their lamps went out, do you remember that those other 5, they would not sacrifice their oil and lose fellowship with the bridegroom? Their concern was to stay in, keep their light shining so they could meet the bridegroom. And that's the way all of us need to be, is to stay close to God, to consider and know that the fellowship with God and being one with God, listen carefully, that being one with God and walking in unity with God is more important than walking in unity with everybody else in the world. So these people, the children of Israel, the army of God, was going forth, and the scripture says that they were knit together as one man. Now, do you remember anybody else in the Bible? This was a whole army that the Bible says was knit together as one man. But do you remember anyone else? Or any other time, do you remember 2 people in the Bible that the Word of God says that they were knit together, that their souls were knit together as one man? Do you remember 2 men that were like that? Jonathan and who? And David. The Bible says, and these are the words that the Scripture says, the Bible says that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Now, it's wonderful, and I received an anonymous book one time when I had written an article about homosexuality. I received an anonymous book in the mail, and it said that Jonathan and David were homosexuals. Listen, brethren, you don't understand the truth of God's Word if you think that 2 men that are knit together like David and Jonathan were, David and Jonathan were not homosexuals. David and Jonathan were 2 men of God. The Bible says about David, David was a man after God's own heart. Jonathan was a man of God. David was a man of God. They both loved God more than they loved each other. But their love for each other was a strong love, and their souls were knit together as one. And it's a blessing. Did you know there are, if I were to ask you tonight, how many people are you as one with? Did you know that probably you would have to admit there are very few? Amen. We're not just talking about friends. You can be friends with someone and you can like someone without being knit together as one. When we're talking about being knit together as one, we're talking about 2 people that walk alike. I'm not talking about literally walking, but their manner of life is alike, their thinking is alike, their goals are alike, and everything in their life, it's in harmony. And there's very little friction. Now, no 2 people can ever live together without ever, well, some people say they can. I don't think they can. I've heard people say, we've lived together for 50 years and we never had a fuss or a fight in our life. Well, maybe they have. I don't think there's anybody I could live with for 50 years and not ever have a little disagreement with. But I think that even David and Jonathan, even though they might have had some disagreement, that it was not something, I don't believe the sun ever went down on their wrath. I remember that when Teresa and I were about to get married, that was one of the promises the preacher told us that we had to make before God and to each other, is that we would never go to sleep mad at each other. He wanted our souls to be knit together. He wanted us to stay together. And He knew and understood that in order for our souls to be knit together, we could not go overnight with having that friction and division between us. There's great danger when there's friction between you and another person. There's great danger in a church. Now listen, brethren, this church body, and I thank God that as far as I know, that there's not any friction between members of the body. But if there is, I would exhort you and command you in the name of Christ that you not let the sun go down on your wrath. If there's a problem between you and a brother, if you have a problem, if you have anything against them, or if there's anything that's wrong, you have the responsibility to go to that person and get it straightened out before you go to sleep tonight. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. The church, just like a family, needs to be knit together as one. I believe that a church body needs to be knit together as one man. In order for a church to not be, in fact, here's what Jesus says about the church and about God's people. He says, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Now that's true whether you consider a house, that is me and my wife, a house divided against itself. If we start to be against each other and we don't love each other and we're not knit together, our house will not stand. A church house, if they're not knit together as one man, and if a house is divided, a church is divided against itself, if there's one group of people that want one thing and one that want another, and they can't agree to do what's right in the sight of God, that church will be destroyed because Jesus says, a house divided against itself cannot stand. God's Spirit will not remain in a church where unity does not abound. The Word of God says in Psalm 133 and verse 1, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Do you know that's one of the most wonderful things in the world? Is for people to be able to be knit together as one man, whether it be a husband and wife, whether it be two men or two women, I'm talking about godly men and godly women, or whether it's a whole church. It's a great blessing to be knit together as one man. If you don't have anybody that you feel that way about, I encourage you to work toward having somebody that you feel knit together as one person with. Do you know who my closest friend is in all the world? Who do you think is my closest friend in all the world? That's exactly right. My wife. She's my friend. We're knit together as one man. She knows what I think a lot of times. Isn't that amazing how she knows what I'm thinking? She knows what I'm going to do. I often know what she's thinking, but we're knit together as one. And that's what a marriage is supposed to be. And I believe with all of my heart that this church is knit together as one. And though we have disagreements sometimes, and though we might have conflict sometimes, the greatest blessing that we have, one of the greatest blessings, the greatest blessing is that we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. He is the unifier. He's the one that brought us all together. Do you know that? The only reason that I'm in this church and the only reason you're in this church is because God has brought us together. And as God has brought us together, He brought us together to be united together, to be knit together as one man. Because when a church is knit together, that church becomes as a city that is set upon a hill whose light cannot be hid. You take one little light here and one little light there, it will not make a major difference, but you take all those lights and you bring them together, and we, as the church of Jesus Christ, children of light, walking in the light, we become as a city, the way Scripture describes it, is that we become as a city that is set upon a hill whose light cannot be hid. Have you ever been out at night and you've seen in the dark countryside, seeing the lights of a city somewhere, and you knew that there was a city over there because of the lights that were shining from that city? Well, listen, brethren, there are a lot of children of God in this world that are looking for a church where the people of God are united together, where the people of God and the souls of the people of God are knit together as one. And brethren, again, it's not just to be united, but to be united. What did my daddy finally get through my head, or God finally get through my head? To be united in what? To be united in the truth. That's right, Sister Jane. To be united in the truth. If you're not united in the truth, you won't have unity very long. You can pretend to have unity when there's no unity. You've got to be united in the truth. If you ever compromise with the truth in order to have unity, you're going to lose the unity. Everybody listen carefully to what I'm saying. If you ever compromise on the truth in order to have unity with someone, you will lose the unity with that person that you once had. You cannot compromise on the truth. Because God will not bless us when we compromise on the truth. What do you think is the most beautiful example in God's Word of a body of people working together? What would you say is the one example that stands out in the Old Testament? The one example that stands out above everything else in the Old Testament of people working together in unity. What would you think is the one example that stands out even greater than this? Now, this says that these people, this is a group of soldiers that were knit together as one man. And they won this battle against Gibeah. They won the battle. God was with them, and they won the battle. They stood together. They arose together. They went forward together. They helped each other. That's part of unity, is helping each other. But can you think of another example different than this, where the people of God were working together and laboring together, and much was accomplished because of their working and laboring together? Can you think of another example? Say it again. Okay. I hadn't thought about that one, Brother Rich. The Tower of Babel, or the Tower of Babel. That's in Genesis chapter 11. The Word of God does talk there about some people that were united, weren't they? They were united in one objective, and their objective was to build a tower that would go up to heaven. All of you remember that. And they worked together and they labored together. But did you know that God brought all of their work and all of their labor to naught? It doesn't matter how many people work together and labor together. It doesn't matter how much unity there is. If it's not in truth and not what God would have them to do, God will blow upon it and it'll become nothing. No matter how much unity you have, if it's not in the truth, it's to no avail. Does everybody follow that? Good example, Brother Rich. Not one I thought about. That's a good example of bad unity, if that makes sense to everybody. Now I want somebody to think about all the people of God working together on another occasion. It was a good example, or an example of good unity and harmony, where everybody was working together. Can you think of another example? My goodness, I didn't think there were that many different. But there are a lot of good examples. Somebody said Gideon. Gideon and his 300 soldiers. I didn't think about that. But was that a good example of unity? Those 300 men. Now, how many did they have to begin with? They had 32,000 to begin with. Then they had 10,000, I believe. And then they got down to 300. But those 300 men were united in the truth, and God blessed them. Someone else said, all right, Noah and his sons, they had unity, didn't they? What did they accomplish? They built the ark. That was unity, working, laboring together for 100 years. You think there was any time during that 100 years that Noah and his sons had any conflict? What did you make that noise for, Brother Ken?
I think they had a lot of people thought they were foolish.
All right, a lot of people thought they were foolish, but I imagine there was some conflict that arose between those father and son. But as it arose, what did they do? I mean, you can't take four human beings working on a project for 100 years without having some kind of conflict. And when they had that conflict, Brother Robbie, do you and your daddy ever have difference of opinion about how to fix a car or do anything at the shop?
And work through it.
That's right. But you do have some differences, don't you? Different ideas, different ways to approach things. But you work through it. You're still working together, still laboring together. Well, that's what Christians can do, is that we work on projects, we labor together, but we must always be willing to forgive each other as we go along our journey. Now, there's one other example that I wanted to mention to you tonight. Somebody else say, okay, yeah, thank you. The walls, well, not the walls, okay, walls of Jericho. That's another good example where they all marched around the walls of Jericho. Were they in unity there? Do you see the great power and great things that were accomplished because of their unity marching around the walls of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down? But there were some other walls that I wanted. Brother Philip, say it again.
Nehemiah.
Okay, Nehemiah and the walls that they rebuilt in Jerusalem. You go and I'm not going to take the time to do this tonight, but you go home and you read from Nehemiah, especially, well, just read the whole book of Nehemiah. It's not very long. You read the book of Nehemiah and you'll see unity there. You'll see people that were burdened about the cause of God. You'll see that Nehemiah was burdened because the temple and the walls of Jerusalem were torn down, and he wept and he could not be happy. Didn't matter that he was the king's cupbearer. Didn't matter that he was eating at the king's table. He could not be happy because the walls of Jerusalem and the temple were torn down. So what did he do? God moved and motivated him to go and rebuild those walls, and then he carried some people with him, and they started rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. You read Nehemiah chapter 4, and you read about all the work that they did and how the walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt, and every man had his own work. You remember how they were shoulder to shoulder, side by side, but they were all working together, and they rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. And here's an expression that's used there in the book of Nehemiah. I want to just mention one verse from Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 1 says, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man." As one man. Do you hear what the scripture says there in Nehemiah 8:1? All the people gathered themselves together as one man, and they built the walls of Jerusalem and rebuilt the temple. But there was unity there. They were knit together as one man. Now, I want us to go quickly now to the New Testament for just a few minutes. And I want us to see that in the early church, there was one thing that stood out in that early church, and I believe will stand out in every true church of Jesus Christ. And that is that the people will love each other, and there will be unity, and there will be forgiveness and harmony in the church. You can't work together. Christians cannot work together as the army of God if they're arguing and fighting among each other. You have to be united. Go with me to Acts chapter 2. And let's look in Acts chapter 2. Just a moment there. In Acts chapter 2, look starting in verse 44. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 44. I want you to see that in the early church, whenever Peter had preached on the day of Pentecost and he had baptized 3,000 people, the Word of God talks about, now we're talking about a church here of 125, maybe 125, 135 people that come together to worship. Do we have to work to be united and keep problems from arising? Do we have to work on that? We have to work on that, don't we? You take 3,000 that were baptized here on the day of Pentecost. 3,000. How could they have unity and harmony with 3,000? The Spirit of the Lord. That's exactly right. The Spirit of the Lord. Come down to Acts chapter 2 and verse 44. I want you to notice the terminology here. In Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 44, the Word of God is talking about the unity and the harmony that was there. The Word of God says in Acts 2, verse 44, "And all that believed were," what's the next word there?
"Together."
"They were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need, and they continuing daily," what are the next three words? Verse 46, "And they continuing daily with one accord." Is that harmony? Is that unity? "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness," and what's the next phrase? "Singleness of heart." What's the point? The point is that in the early church, in Acts chapter 2, one of the most outstanding things that's emphasized about that church is there was unity and harmony in that church. And then what did the Lord do? And they had to work on keeping that unity and harmony. But what did the Lord do whenever these people did what the Word of God describes here in Acts 2, 44 through 46? The Word of God then says in Acts 2, verse 47, "They were praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Now, where is it that the Lord is going to add to the church? It's where there is what? Thank you. Okay. I expected the reply, unity, but I wanted the reply, unity in the truth. Because if you go back and study this whole passage, you're going to find they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine so that the truth was there, and then they had unity. They were united in the truth. Go to Acts 5, verse 12. Acts 5, verse 12. The Word of God says there, again, continuing to talk about the church, and God blessed the church. In Acts 5, verse 12, the Word of God says, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord." They were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Go with me in closing to Philippians. I want you to notice in Philippians chapter 1, and I'll close right here. I want you to go home, though, and read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You know what the Word of God calls the church there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? You know what the Word of God describes the church as being? One what? One body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You study 1 Corinthians 12 through 27, and you'll see that we are one body. We're not a divided body. We are one body. There are different gifts. There are diversities of gifts in the church, but we are one body. Philippians chapter 1, I'll close with Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. The Word of God says, "Only let your conversation," that means your manner of life, "only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye," I want you to notice three different expressions here, "that ye stand fast in one spirit." What spirit is that? One spirit. Did you know there is no way that we can pick one person in the church and say we're going to follow that person and the church stay united? Did you know that's totally impossible? It is totally impossible. You could pick out the sweetest little lady that you want to and say, okay, we're going to follow everything she wants. We cannot be united in that way. But the only way we'll always be united and can be united is if we're all, the Word of God says here, that we stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. I hope that God will help us to realize that just as there was an army back there that we started reading about tonight, there was an army that went out against Gibeah, and they fought a battle, and they won that battle because they were united, because they were knit together as one man. I believe that we are the army of God. And as soldiers of Jesus Christ, we have to be united together, working together, and laboring together. If we want victory over Satan in our homes or in the church, if we want victory over the devil, we have to be united in the truth. May God help us to strive for and seek after unity in the truth is my prayer for Christ's sake.